Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about cars and car repair and car problems. And this is what we do. You call in at 602-508-0960. I've been having a bad habit of giving my cell phone or my office number there, and I'm just making a mistake. But 602-508-0960, you get in now. The wait is a lot less than later in the show. But the idea is that you tell me what kind of year, make, and model car you have, and we talk about the symptoms. I'll ask you, when you say it doesn't start, does that mean nothing happens when you go into the start mode of your key, or does it crank over and not catch? So we'll talk about those. Is there just a click? Is there a fast click, 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 like a machine gun on a vibration? Is it through the seat of your pants, or is it through the steering wheel, or both? So that's how we kind of hone in on it, and that's what you can't do on the internet. And you can't really talk to somebody who's got 40 years of experience in the car repair business, but I know the questions to ask, and I think I'm a pretty good job at focusing you on what you should say and what you should do to maximize the efficiency of the repair on your car. 602-508-0960. Automotive Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. Chuck Nyday opened up Auto Dynamics in 1982, and his son Derek now runs it. Derek is a really good young man. He's been around the family business for a very long time, and he will make sure you get taken care of. But he doesn't really have to make sure, because everybody's on the same rope, pulling in the same direction. So if you're in Sun City, Auto Dynamics, it's on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. When we come back, when we're at the bottom of the hour, about the 30 mark, I'm going to tell you a story that just flattened me this week. As you can imagine, I get lots of emails and lots of calls and stuff like that about car. One of the things that I don't do is hop on my white horse and go slay your dragon. I might tell you what to say and how to say it and how to be polite and stuff like that, but I'm not going to, you know, you can't expect me to go slay your dragon. That happens a lot. And when you have a dispute with a car shop, including mine, you should just be prepared to tell them what the problem is. I have a concern with the repair you most recently did. Here's what I told you. This is what was happening. Then you said this would fix it. And then now I have the car back and I have exactly the same symptom. So I'd like to bring it back in, and I did ask for my old part back, so I'll put that on the passenger side floorboard, and if you determine that that wasn't it, then I would like to put the old part back in, and then we'll start over again. So is that okay with you? Those are the kind things that you say. That's how I welcome you, as opposed to coming in and yelling and screaming, and you're going to make bad reviews about me, and you're going to make my grandkids at their school be the most unpopular people in the world. It doesn't do any good. Now, if you get to a shop that creates that problem, and we've never done anything wrong, you're crazy, drive your car some more, that kind of stuff, then I think they've told you all you need to know. I know that there's a lot of older guys in this industry, in the Phoenix and the Valley area, and all of us pretty much know and think the same. We've all been the stupid shop owner. We've all been the short-tempered shop owner. We've all been at the mercy of our technicians who promised us they fixed the car, but didn't. So we understand that there's going to be a time where we misdiagnose the car, and actually it's something that needs to be taken care of. But then we need to talk about diagnosing the car. It doesn't do any good to take a car in that you can't duplicate the problem unless it's there 24/7. Now, obviously, if you have a problem, a noise, a grinding noise, a vibration, you see your gauges are acting up all the time, that's easy. But when you come in and say, I'll turn on my right turn signal, and halfway through the turn, I'll hear a cow mooing. But, well, can it happen now? Can I have a technician go with you right now? Well, it's intermittent. Well, can you show me how to make it happen? No, it only happens once a week. We can't do anything for that. Now, if you say to us, I want you to give the car a cursory check over. What does that cost? $25. Okay. I want you to put it up in the air. I want you to check the fluids and the hoses and the belts. I want you to see if there's anything loose, anything bad, anything at all. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. But don't count on us finding your problem, because this is a very unusual problem and it only happens once a month. And really and truly, we'll do what you ask us. But you have only one choice. Well, two, actually. You can wait until it gets worse and easier to find, or wait until you can duplicate it for us. We'll go with you, and you say, listen. Or guessing. If you want to guess, everybody in town is going to write down, customer guesses, requests the following repair, and customer understands that they're guessing. Those are the kinds of things. I would say that a lot of the old guys in town, we really embrace our customers. I was looking through our customer file the other day, and there was a Jim Bramlett, who was my supervisor when I worked for Mobil Oil early in my life. And him and I were become very best friends, and Jim's from ASU. And he was on the football team, and he was a well-respected guy. And his wife is Pam. Well, Jim passed away in 2017, and I just happened to hook up with his wife, and we had a long talk. Her customer number is 307, and we're at 36,000. So that means a lot to us. We recognize when you have a 3-digit or a 4-digit serial or a customer number, you've been around a long time. And those people are extra special. But it doesn't really work to come into the first time and expect to be moved to the front of the line and have no diagnostic figures, no number, no money, not authorize anything. You look it over and you call me. That's not going to work for most of us. So nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Our industry's full of bad people. But what's going on right now, and I've said this lots of times before, is we used to have you come in every 30,000 miles, 30, 60, 90. We got to see you three times, and actually some of us are bringing in at 100,000. But we got to see you three or four times a year. And so we had the opportunity to look at your car, and inevitably, we'd find something you needed to have done. Windshield wipers replaced. You got a headlight out. You got a little oil leak over here. I've got a fan belt that looks bad at 80,000 miles. We don't have that anymore. We got synthetic oil in these cars. It's going to go 10,000 miles. The average person might drive 15 a year. I get to see you once a year. And then every 10,000 miles after that. So what we're doing is we're creating the need for all this special stuff. Just special. And the special stuff is sold to you by service writers. Now, most of the time, the service writer is not technically advanced in any way, shape, or form. They are a parrot. And I don't mean that derogatory. They're a parrot for what they've been told. Now, we could have, in the hierarchy, we can have the service manager, we can have the shop foreman, and then we can have the technician. And one of those is going to communicate with the service writer. And the service writer is just a parrot. They're going to tell you what they were told. So the self-defense for your car expense is real simple. When you hear the word flush, you need to know that Mark Salem says that when you hear the word flush, unless there's a really good reason or it appears in your owner's manual, then that's a wallet flush. That's all there is to it. We're flushing your wallet. We're the industry. So you come in and we say, you really need to have your intake valves cleaned up, and it's going to need us to flush this, and it's $215. But it's something you really need. Now, that's a parrot. That's somebody who's just telling what they were told. So your question is, what symptoms are you going to fix when you flush the back of my intake valves? Now, there is a reason we would tell you we needed to do that, but it's a symptom. And so if the service writer looks at you with a blank stare and says, you just need it, then you say, well, just write it down. Why don't you do this? Just write down needs, a flush of the valves, $200 and whatever dollars it was, and then just sign your name, put your phone number on there, because my brother's going to, he thinks he knows everything. So just write it down. They won't. They won't. They just, and I can say that 90% of them won't do that. It's because that's if it turns out that that's not it, or if it turns out that's not needed, it's really ugly. The focus is what are you going to fix when you do this $200 flush? And the right answer is you should have a rough idol. More than likely when it's cold, that it'll clear up. And then as long as the car is kind of warm all day long, it won't be there. But in the cold morning, it'll just kind of run rough. And then mysteriously or magically, a minute or two later, it's okay. And then you look them in the eye and say, so you're going to fix that with this $200 flush? Yes, I am. Okay, let's go ahead and do it. But I want to tell you something. If you don't fix that problem with this $200 flush, I'm not going to be happy with you, because you're saying you're going to fix the symptoms I have with this service. And that's how you do it. You do it at my shop. You do it at everybody's shop. Everybody's shop gets the same thing. So the focus and the purpose of this is to ensure that you are exercising your self-defense for car expense. It's really important to understand that there's two or three things you can say. What symptom are you going to fix? Well, Mrs. Jones, you need lower control arm bushings, and we need to go ahead and put some lower ball joints because we're right there, and that whole bill's about $850. What symptom are you going to fix that I have? I don't know. This technician just said you needed them. I'll tell you what symptom. If the lower control arm bushings are bad, then when you abruptly stop, there might be a clunk. And then if you accelerate rather rapidly, there might be a clunk. And then we're talking about lower control arm bushings. But then, in our industry, we use words like they're cracked, they're weathered, they need to be replaced. None of those are good unless there's a symptom. I'm going to fix this symptom by replacing your lower control arms. I've identified the clunk you never said anything about. Do you have it? Yes, we do. Okay, I'm going to write an estimate down there. You need to do it at your convenience. Here you go. Thank you very much. That's how it works. 602-508-0960. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Well, it's 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and if you'd like to join us, we have two lines that are taken. We have three more lines that aren't taken. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up near I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate, who runs the shop part of Strictly Diesel, is a really great guy. He's a diehard diesel service and repair guy. Now, they work on foreign and domestic light diesel trucks, but they also work on your other cars. So if you need an oil change on your Lexus, or if you need your tire rotations on your Chevy, they can handle that too. But their focus is really diesel service and repairs. So if you're in that area and you have a diesel and you got a problem with it, Strictly Diesel would be a great place to go. Let's go to Sean. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Well, I got a couple questions for you. My wife drives a 2014 GMC Acadia. And when she, after it's been driving for a little bit, when she accelerates or gets into maybe past first into second or third, it starts to shake pretty violently. Like you're going over those warning dots on the freeway kind of shake.
Okay.
And so we took it in to a mechanic that was recommended to us by a friend, and it found out that it was still under warranty.
Okay.
Went to warranty. It took them a long time to figure that out, and then also to figure out what was wrong with it. Got it back, and I just found out that the problem was never fixed. My wife kept driving it because she didn't want to be without it. And so it's been about 5 or 6 months. It's better. But it's still there.
Okay, well, that's an easy one. Let's deal with that one first.
Okay.
You just go back, and you bring your old copy of your ticket and say there was a time that this was fine, but it's back. It's the exact same problem. Now, you need to know what they did to fix your problem, and you kind of hint along that maybe that didn't really fix it. Perhaps maybe you touched something that actually temporarily fixed it, but it's exactly the way it is. So would you just call me before you spend any of my money? That's a nice way of asking for, hey, or saying, you know what, I think you should diagnose this for free. I've already paid you. So that's how I would handle that.
Now, would it still, even though now the issue is it's out of warranty, it was into 2019 and it's out. So am I looking at moving forward having to pay out of pocket if it's the same issue?
No, that's the beauty of paperwork. That's the absolutely the beauty of paperwork. People go, well, I've got a problem and nobody can find it. You just take it in and get it stamped. So a month later, a year later, you end up and they call you and they go, oh, well, you, and you say, I had that under warranty. Look at repair order 12345. Okay. And you couldn't fix it. So let's just go ahead and fix it, but let's bill GM.
Okay.
That's a wonderful thing. I got to tell you, I had a problem with the transmission on a big Suburban, and I was out of warranty. This is 100 years ago when Henry Brown was on Main Street in Mesa. I took it in. The guy calls me, and he says, you need a transmission. And I said, okay, how much is it? And he goes, it's free. And I said, why? And he goes, because we looked at this four times during warranty period, and we couldn't figure it out, but there's a broken snap ring on the main shaft. I said, bingo. Tell me when I can pick it up. So that's the same situation with you.
Okay. And as I'm going in, is there any hint as to what that might be? So as I'm listening to tell me what it is, that I might be in the right ballpark as to what I'm hearing?
No, you don't want to tell them anything except the symptoms. The thing's got a vibration as if we were running over those little round things on a freeway. And it's speed related. So if we go slow, it's slow. If I'm doing 60, it's faster. And if my wife's doing 100, it's much faster. So okay. That's how I do it. And then if you want, can you send a technician with me and I'll go out and show him how to make it happen? Now, sure. If you can say it happens in overdrive at 40 north of 40 miles an hour, that helps. So if the closest you can get to the symptom, the better off you are. Okay?
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, Sean. Bill, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes, I have a 1991 Ford 460 7.5 liter Bounder. It's an RV, 28 feet. And I put in this will be the third transmission in the last 4 years. Anyway, to make a long story short, I'm trying to find a reliable transmission dealer here in the Phoenix area that can handle an E40D transmission and can repair it correctly.
You don't want to go back to those people that already have your money?
Well, the one in Las Vegas, can I mention the name?
No, never mind that. That's too far away. Okay.
Yeah, I can't go back. Well, they went out of business. Okay. They closed down. So I'm here, and we're snowbirds, and it kind of stuck.
Okay.
But we get someone who can, that's reliable, that can fix it, where we can drive over the, we're from Colorado.
Okay, give me the symptoms real quick.
There's no second gear and there's no reverse.
Okay. And it happens all the time? Or is it fine cold and it warms up and it's X up?
Nope, nothing. What happens is when I put it in reverse and I will push the accelerator in, even after leaving it to warm up, it will actually go forward when I put it in reverse. Kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, but how about when you're in park and on a slope? If you're in park and you're parking on a slope, then you don't set the parking brake and you let your foot off the brake. Does it hold in park?
I haven't tried that.
I need you to try that because you're talking about that the detent on the dashboard doesn't match the lever on the transmission. So I need...
No, I'm positive. There's no reverse and there's no second gear.
Okay, so when you go to drive, you pull it out of park and go to drive, it's okay. I mean, it'll pull. It'll move down the road, yes?
In drive, yes. No
yes,
problem,
fine,
but
fine.
It's a hard time changing gears.
Okay. What part of town are you in?
I'm in the Glendale area.
Okay. I would take it over to Parker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. 38th Avenue and Indian School. If they don't do motorhomes, I do. So... And I mean, I guarantee they can fix this, and I guarantee I can fix this. But it doesn't guarantee that you're not going to have another transmission put in this.
Well, I talked to a few of them. They said they could rebuild the transmission, which for 2 year, 24,000 mile warranty for between $25,000 and $3,000. That sound about right?
2 minutes.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It sounds. You said $3,000 with the 3 year warranty.
Two year, 24,000.
Okay. I don't know. I'd get him to put it in writing if that's what you're going to do. Now, you see, very few shops rebuild transmissions. Most everybody pulls it out and sends it to their rebuilder, who just does wholesale work and won't do retail work. Most of us have the rebuilder come to our shop and drive it, and then he smiles and says, yeah, here's what's wrong. And so if we pull it out, send it to him, he fixes it, we put it back in, or he'll take the whole coach. So that's kind of how it works. There's very few independent shops, and even dealerships for that matter, that rebuild transmission in-house. There's some really good rebuild guys, but like I said, they just work for shops and for not customers.
So. A question. For a like 2 year, 24,000 miles warranty, how much does that normally run?
It's not that. It's do you go 24,000 miles a year? Or 24,000 is 2 years? Do you drive more than 12,000 miles a year?
Yes, we travel quite a bit.
Okay, all right. I think the warranty is just this red herring. I'm not real quite sure how that goes. All of us are going to give a warranty, but if it's fine for the first 1,000 miles, it's going to be fine after that. Your real big problem is you start with something, you got symptom A, B, and C, and when you get it back, it's B, C, and D. So, there's a few shops out there that will pull it out, steam clean it, paint it, make one repair that'll fix one or two of your symptoms and then sell it back to you. A few. Maybe out of 100, there's two or three that I would not use. I got to take a break. If you have one more question, you stay with me. Otherwise, 602-508-0960 for anybody else. 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot, and we'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Real quick, let me tell you about Blackwell Auto, 40th Street in Glendale. Lady calls me the other day. She buys a $3,000, $4,000 air conditioning system for her very old Chevy pickup, and she can't find anybody to do it. I say Blackwell's around the corner. He's the kind of guy that'll do that. I don't know a lot of shops that would do that, especially because she had taken to somebody who had it for 2 or 3 months, and they couldn't fix it. So now you got to go in and kind of fix the front side before you can fix the back side. So anyway, Blackwell took it in, and not only did he install all of her air conditioning, but he also installed power brakes for her. And I checked with her a month later, and I said, I need it to blow ice cubes. And she says, oh, it does. It does. So Blackwell's really good at oil changes and everything else. But if you got that refabrication itch, then Blackwell's would certainly be a good place for you to start. Bill, on your 91 Bounder with your E40D, we're really familiar with that, partially because I've owned three of them, and I own one now. The E40D is usually a pretty good transmission, so I'm really surprised that you have 3 and 4 years. I wonder what the mileage would be, what you've got in there, but clearly what's been done hasn't been done right, or otherwise you wouldn't have 3 in 1 year. So I still think that you need to deal with somebody who's going to know what to do and is going to have a good rebuilder. There's one in South and there's one North, and those are the only two guys I really know. Now, Automatic Transmission Exchange is a good place as well. He's on Washington and 40th Street. He's been around a really long time, and certainly you could get over there and talk to him. So 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. But then again, we got North and South rebuilders that don't deal with you. And by the way, that F53 chassis you have on that Bounder is the best chassis they've ever put underneath a Fleetwood, and that hurts my feelings to say that because I'm talking about a Ford chassis, but I'll go ahead and swallow my pride and make you feel good. The F53, which is the Ford chassis, your 460 with the E40D overdrive, that's a good one. Jim, good morning. How can we help you?
Hey, I have a 95 Dodge Ram half ton with 5.7, and It's only got 130,000 miles, so I kind of love my little baby.
Okay.
But when I start out to go somewhere, if I put it into drive, it like hesitates. And I haven't been in mechanics for a long time. It used to be you had like a pump that might be going bad or something like that. It was serviced at 100,000.
Okay.
You know, filter and oil change.
All right. So what you're saying is there's the delay in engagement. You put it into drive and it takes one, two, and then it engages.
Yeah.
Did you have the transmission filter replaced in the pan, which means that they're going to replace three of the maybe 10 quarts, or did you have a flush done?
Oh, now you're asking me a tough one.
Well, how much was
it? Oh, I know. It was the guy I bought the vehicle from had a Carfax report that he had run on the vehicle.
Okay.
Where it came from Texas, and the guy that owned it was very methodical about keeping the maintenance done and everything else. And on the Carfax, it shows transmission service to the 100,000. It was 104,000, but it didn't say what.
Okay, it's no big deal, but that could have easily been a guess, too. So he takes it somewhere, he's got this delay, and he's been told by some guy on the internet who lives in Russia to go have it serviced, so he takes it in and has it serviced, and then now everybody draws a conclusion that he took really good care of it, and it's not the truth. This is what I want you to do. Does it change when it's hot?
It functions perfectly. That's the only thing it does weird with the tranny.
Only cold. It doesn't do it throughout the day if you're using it. It's only the first start in the morning.
Yeah, whether I'm starting, I go to work like at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, so it's kind of chilly. I live out in Waddell, so it's nice and chilly. And I work in Phoenix, so when I get done working noonish, it's warm, but it still does it just, it's, you know, like only a second or two.
Okay. I want you to dump a pint of brake fluid, .3 brake fluid, in the dipstick tube. And tell me, you know, you see if it made a difference.
Okay.
You know, it's we know that brake fluid causes rubbers to swell slightly, and we know that the brake fluid doesn't deteriorate rubber. And sometimes what you have is on a delayed engagement is you just have something leaking. So us old guys used to dump a pint of brake fluid into the transmission, and I would say the success rate was 60%. And
okay.
You have nothing to lose, but clearly something is not holding tight within the transmission with respect to pressure. And then, like you said, after it warms up or it's driving a little while, then it's okay. You might also try a manual shift on it. So when you start it up in the morning, I want you to go to low instead of drive.
Okay.
All right. See if you get instant engagement, and then you go to reverse. Now, when you back up and go into reverse, there's a delayed engagement too, reverse?
I'm one of these guys that always parks so I'm headed out, so I don't.
Okay.
Usually backing up is at the end of my day, not at the beginning.
Okay, so you understand I want you to try it, you know, I want you to try reverse first thing in the morning. Do we have delayed engagement? Drive, do we have it? Low, do we have it? I need you to spread it out and answer those questions, and then a transmission shop will be able to help you. And if all you've got is that does not indicate that the transmission is on its way out. This could go another 50, 60,000 miles. So it's not, if you wanted to go fishing in Montana, I'd go with you in that truck.
Okay. And then I have one other question.
Okay.
When I do my services through one of the Dodge dealerships here in town. And, you know, like it's every 5 or 6 months, it doesn't get, but they suggested a steering wheel flush. I had never really heard that, and to me it almost sounded like a wise tale.
It's a steering system flush. They want to flush your steering system. They want to flush your power steering system.
Right.
Okay. You got any problems with it?
No, it works fine.
Okay.
But is that something I want to do? I mean, the truck is in cherry shape. I get compliments every time I drive it, so...
Pull the dipstick out of the reservoir. Pull the dipstick out of the reservoir. Have a clean paper towel in your left hand. Pull this thing out. Dab it on the towel. Do that 3 or 4 times. If the fluid's pink and pretty, the answer is no. There is no mileage or time for flushing your power steering. Ooh, we make a lot of money. But,
right.
But if it's chocolate and it's not opaque, then yes. But, oh, man. it's just difficult. I need to take Carrie, but you stay listening to the radio because I'm going to have a comment after this break that's exactly what you're talking about. So stay right there. Terry, you stay right there. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and real quick, I got some business to take care of. No, I don't. I can pass on that one. Jim, and Terry, you stay right there. Jim, you also talked about a power steering flush. You just need to compare what you have with new stuff. It's a lucrative repair, and there are specific things that we need to look at. If you pull the dipstick out and you put it on a paper towel and it looks like it's chocolate, if it looks like it's dark, if it's not pink and pretty, if it's something that you can see with a flashlight that has metal particles in it, then yeah, the flush is going to be okay, but if there's a bunch of metal in it, then the pump's eating itself from the inside out. So it really has to do with the color of the fluid. Let me get to Terry, and then I have a story to tell you, but I owe it to Terry. Terry, good morning. Tell me what's going on.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Good morning, Mark. First of all, thanks for having the only interesting show on Sunday morning.
Thank you.
I have two high-level questions. Okay. Number one, I have a 2007 F-350 with the dreaded 6.0. I've heard recently it went out on me in a very important time, just right before I had to go somewhere. What can I do proactively to make it as reliable as the 7.4?
You can't. Oh. That motor is the worst motor in the last 10, 15 years, including gas motors. I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to tell anybody else. We've made thousands and thousands and thousands of and thousands of dollars working on the 6-liter. We bought a hoist for the 6-liter. You see, when you work on the motor, you have to put the hoist and you have to lift it up by the sides. Okay? Then you have to lift the body. You have to disconnect the entire body and lift the body up off the chassis. Then you roll the chassis out, and when people see that you got the chassis, the frame, and the transmission over here, and the cab over here, they poop their pants. They're sure that we're not going to get all the wires back in, all the connections done, and that their truck will never be the same. You're starting off with 11 hours at let's just say $100 an hour. You're talking $1,100 just to pull the cab and put it back on. So if you have a 6-liter, treat yourself. Now, the 6.7 in the Ford is running as good as the Dodge 6.7 and as well as the 6.6 in the Duramax. But the 6-liter, I want to tell you something. I don't care how pretty your truck is. I wouldn't give you $1,000 for it. And that's just me. I can't make it any clearer than that. I can't make it any clearer than that. Now, the 7.3, if you had a 7.3, I had a friend of mine that just sold his 7.3, the first caller, and he was too cheap in his price, $12,000. And he had owned it since new, and he had, you know, 200,000 miles on it. I told him I thought he was a little cheap on the price, but it's too late because he had already sold it. The 7.3 is a monster, but the 6-liter and the 6.4 is a little better, but not really good, but 6.7, bingo. So I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for brightening up my day on that one.
I'm sorry. Okay.
One more high-level question.
Go ahead.
I have a 99 Trans Am with an LS1, and I'd really like to put some twin turbos on it just for fun. Where would you recommend?
I'd go talk to Blackwell, 40th Street in Washington, or 40th Street in Greenway. Throw that gauntlet down at him. I was talking to Mark Salem, and I've got this 99 Trans Am, and I'd like to put twin turbos on it. And Salem says, no matter what you say, you can't do it as well as he can. But really, he can do it better than I can. Because if he needs a bracket, he can make the bracket. So just do that. Just throw the gauntlet down in front of him. And I'm getting everybody in the world telling me I can't do that. What do you say? Now, he's going to take – you need to kind of get on the internet and see if they make a twin turbo for that Trans Am. Because if they make a kit, then there's a lot of us that might take that on. But if cool. if it's going to be something – you just talk to Tom when you call Blackwell Automotive, okay?
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. It's redesigning cars is a little bit tough. It makes it really tough. Okay, so here's my story. Very few people have my cell phone number. But this young man named Larry, who was married to one of my older sisters, and after I don't know, however many years, he decided he had had enough. And I had told him a long time before that he needed to get the heck out of there. Nevertheless, he calls me up and he says, hey, I just got picked up my car from the shop, and they say that they need to flush my ABS system, and that my transmission's leaking, and the transmission repair was, I don't know, $1,200, $1,800, I don't remember, but it was over a grand. And I go, so what do you want me to do? You want me to wave my magic wand on your car? And he goes, no. He says, I need a second opinion. I said, just take it to the shop. So he takes it to the shop. Eddie, our senior technician, gets it. He lifts it up in the air. Oh, by the way, he has pictures. That's part of the story. He has pictures. So they lift it up in the air. Eddie looks at the transmission. They want to do all kinds of work for $1,000. And Eddie goes, it's not leaking. And he goes, no, they said it was. Eddie says, you got anything on the floor in your garage? No. He's not leaking. When it leaks and you go 60 miles an hour, then the leak goes backwards. The whole underside of the car is going to be covered with spots of oil. And then the air in the back of the car is going to swirl, and that deposits the oil on the rear bumper and the rear window. This has no... Come on out here. Look at it. This is your transmission. And he goes, here's a picture of the transmission. And Eddie goes, that's not yours. That's not yours. So he goes, okay. He says, well, they also said that my brake fluid needs to be flushed, and they need to flush that. And he says, okay. So he drops it down. He looks at it, and the brake fluid has a golden hue to it. And Eddie goes, I disagree. The brake fluid looks pretty fresh and pretty clean to me. I wouldn't be selling a brake fluid flush. And he goes, well, here, look at this picture. This is a true story, I swear to you. Eddie looks at the picture. He looks at the car. He looks at the picture. He looks at the car, and he goes, this ain't even your car either. So he shows the customer the difference. He says, look at this. You don't have that. Look at this bracket. You don't have that. This. So I'm not going to tell you the name of the shop. I'm not going to tell you if it's a dealer or an independent or a chain store. I'm not going to tell you all that. I can tell you this much. Those tablets are the new thing. The technicians have a tablet. And so they take pictures of everything that's wrong. The moral of this story is you better make damn sure that picture's of your car. This was a $2,000 plus bid for two things he didn't need. Now, the last thing I need to do is hop on my white horse and slay dragons for everybody in the world. If you have a big estimate and you're a little unclear, go get a second opinion, and this is what you say. You say, Mark, I want to bring my car in, and I'm going to say to you, not on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon for obvious reasons, and would you please lift it up in the air? And I have two issues, and I would like your opinion on these two issues, and I'm willing to pay for your time. That's what it sounds like. I just want a second opinion. That's all it sounds like. So I have the specifics. I'm not going to share the numbers with you until after we're done, just to help you out as well, but that's what we need to do. That's all you need to do. It doesn't make any difference where you take it. If you want the best shops, marksalem.com, go to the best shops. Find one in your area and take it to them and tell them the same thing. I'm going to hold this ticket close to my chest, or these pictures close to my chest. I want you to look at the transmission and the brake fluid and tell me what it's going to take to fix the transmission leak and what it's going to take to replace the brake fluid that's been represented to me that looks like really, really dark iced tea. And that's all. And can I go out in your shop and talk to the technician, and can he point out different things to me? That's all. Just educate me. That's all I got to do. Most of us, if you're a customer of ours, most of us will charge you $50. And that's less than a half an hour of our time. If it's another shop, then you'll probably have to pay a little bit more. But anyway, that's what it's all about. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. One of the best shops in my group is Kurt's Auto Repair. I know Kurt. I know all these owners. He's really honest. He's very dependable. He's won the Better Business Bureau Ethic Award before. He opened up in 1987. He works on gas and diesel. He has ASE certified technician, and he's a master ASE certified technician, and so is Eric. So he's on I-17 and Bell, northeast corner. I-17 and Bell, northeast corner, and that's where you can find him. So if you don't have a garage, and perhaps you're looking for one and you're in that geographical area, I'd like to suggest that you call him and ask him for an oil change and maybe a tire rotation or whatever you need. And that's the kind of the go steady moment. Do you like how they treated you? Did you like what that you heard them say? Did they keep their word to you? Did you get your car back with grease all over the steering wheel and greasy footprints on your carpeting? All that kind of stuff. And did they put a lot of information on your repair order? Did they write down what you said and what their response is? What you said and their response is. That's how it's supposed to work in our industry. We're supposed to have two-way communication. And if the shop is halfway smart, they're going to write down what you said. Then they're going to put a dash and write down what their response is. So that really helps you decide what you're going to do. And like I said before, when you start writing things, you're separating the men from the boys. When somebody doesn't want to write their information on the back of their business card and put their phone number, a direct dial phone number, to you, then you need to get the heck out of there. There's a reason nobody wants to sign that estimate. It's because probably it's not true. The other side of the coin, 602-508-0960, we have five lines open. The other side of the coin is, I'm talking about a very small percentage of the shops I know. Even the guys that aren't on my list, there's a lot of them that geographically are too close to the other shop, but they're good guys. They're good guys. Everybody has a different philosophy, but I'm trying to represent to you of the square box of the philosophies of others that I've adopted and of others that I agree with. And I think, well, it's important for you to know that when it comes to the standard of care or industry standards, and those are legal terms, I'm an expert in that field. I'm hired by insurance companies and lawyers to talk about the standard of care. What's the standard of care? Are they supposed to tighten up the lug nuts when they rotate your tires? Yes, that's the standard of care. Are they supposed to know, they did an oil change, and are they supposed to know that your alternator is going to fail in 1,000 miles? No, no. That's not the standard of care, and that's not what we're supposed to do. Industry standards don't tell anybody that we should be able to tell you what's going to happen 1,000 miles later, except if it's a tire that has an excessive wear pattern, if it's a tire that is terribly worn, and in the next 500 miles, the tire fails, and everybody that looks at the tire kind of goes, and they just kind of shake their heads and walk away because they know that was there then. Somebody missed it. So standard of care, industry standards, those are things that I'm well versed in. So I get those a lot, and sometimes I have to give the attorney or the insurance company bad news. and this is how I do it. I've read everything that you've given me. I've looked at all the pictures. And to be perfectly frank, I'd rather be on the other side. As opposed to, I've read all the information, I've looked at the pictures, and here's what I think, and here's what I think the shop should have done, or not should have, or whoever. It could be a tire shop, an exhaust shop, a muffler shop, it could be anything. But these are what I think. I'm not the most...
1 minute.
I'm not the smartest expert in the whole world. I pick and choose my cases, but industry standards and the standard of care, those are two things I know a lot about. So when we talk about the standard of care, I know what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to look at. So anyway, we're going to go for another hour, 602-508-0960. Wait a minute. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and you can call us up, and we'll put you in queue, and then I'll get you. I don't have anything to talk about for the next hour, and so hopefully somebody will fill those five lines up for me. And if not, I'll just talk to myself for the next hour. Anyway, 602-508-0960. Remember, what kind of car you got, and let's talk about the symptoms. That's kind of how we start off, and I'll ask you questions. So I'm Mark Salem. Every Saturday we're here from 10 to noon. Well, welcome back, everybody, for another hour's worth of mischief and talking about cars. And you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Mike, you're first. You stay right there. When it comes to auto repair, we talked about Larry Harker's a few minutes ago. They've been around Phoenix since 1967. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto. Ellen's at the front, Bob's in the back, and it's a team that a few people can match up to. They have a technician that's a family member that's named Jeremy. Jeremy has passed every single test that the Automotive Service Excellence Nationwide Company gives. Buses, painting, transmissions, engines, diesels, air conditioning system. The kid has more certifications than anybody I know. He is 5 times smarter than I am, if you're going to talk about paint and body and inside of transmissions. But they're really good at what they do. Real quick, the other day somebody brought in a BMW. They said that they had been bid this $3,000 to replace the evaporator, which is the air conditioning cold thing behind the glove box. And why? Because they were having water out of their vents. So took it to Larry Harker's. He determines that the drain in the box is plugged up. He sticks a welding rod up there, knocks the water out, or knocks the plug out. The water drains. It stops blowing water out of the vents. Then they take a gasoline-powered blower, and they tape off all the vents but one. Then they pull the rubber hose off the bottom of the box, and they just turn on this big blower. And they pressurize the box, and that blows all the trash out the hole. Then we're done. I think the bill was $120 versus $2,000 or $3,000. A second opinion is always good, but Larry Harker's, they're pretty good at what they do, and they're good with diagnosticians. Mike, good morning. How can I help you?
Well, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a Jeep Wrangler, 98 Sport, has about 93,000 miles on it. It's got a 6-inch lift kit on it. It runs 31/10/5/15 tires, and the suspension on the thing is terrible. The last two guys that had it, that's over about 7 years, according to Carfax, didn't drive it much, because it ran so rough. When you get off-road, we're not talking about wall climbing. We're just talking about rough roads. Man, it bounces. It just about shakes your teeth out.
Okay. Have you got a pencil handy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready to write.
We're ready to write, okay. Mark.
480-598. 1234 and ask for Alan and tell him your problem. And he's going to want to know the inflation of your tires.
Okay.
And he might want to look at it. And he's at Warner and I-10. And he does nothing but what you're talking about. He has 20 years of experience with what you're talking about. He owns the sister company of mine. He owns the performance side. So we can have at any given time 4, 5, 6 vehicles in our shop that are being lifted, lowered, shocks, springs, suspensions, steering, all that jazz. He is as the best I have to offer you. So what I hear you saying is you're unhappy with the ride, and when you get
terrible,
off...
Yeah, terrible ride.
Okay,
yeah,
harsh.
The other people had had it over about 7 years, didn't drive it much because the ride was so harsh and so bad.
Okay. Well, none of that makes any difference because they're gone. You own it. So you just need to get the adjectives right in your head. On a 1 to 10 scale, with the respective rough ride, harsh ride, on a 1 to 10 scale, how does it do on the freeway at 65, 70 miles an hour? Then, when I'm off-road and on a 1 to 10 scale, the road is about a 3, it's ugly. Or at 3, it's no different than the road, but I get up to 6 on a rough, kind of a little rougher road, but not a really big rough road, then it goes to 10. You need some kind of to give somebody something. You know, it's so subjective that it's harsh, or it's hard, or it's rough riding. You can't draw any conclusions from the people before you. That's not fair.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I can do all that. And let me check that number again.
Okay.
You said 49. Okay, just read it back, please.
No problem. 480-598-1234.
Very good. And where's the guy located?
He's on Warner and I-10 East 1 mile.
Okay. Do you have anything more to the north? I'm up north, north. So
go to Blackwell. He's got the whole northeast port. And now, are you east of the I-10 or west of the I-10?
No, I'm up in the Verde, but there's nobody up here that knows anything about this, so I need to come south.
Okay. 40th Street and Greenway, Blackwell Auto. Blackwell Auto. And talk to Tom. Make an appointment, talk to Tom, and tell him, Mark Salem says that you don't know your ear from a hole in the ground. But I thought I'd stop by and ask you anyway.
Anyway, there you go, Mark.
And he told me you weren't going to charge me to take a ride. And he told me if it was around lunchtime that you'd probably buy me lunch. And
there you go.
He's just going to laugh. That's all. He's just going to laugh. But it introduces you in a nice way. Okay?
Okay, very good. Thanks.
All right.
I really enjoy your show. Like your sense of humor.
I get in trouble for that a lot.
Hey, I hear you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
so
you.
Long.
Folks, I told a story last week about my horse's tallywhacker. And I did get in a lot of trouble for that. But it was a true story. It had to do with cowboys and Indians and all that kind of stuff. But it was a true story. But it was just, I'm a really good storyteller, and you can probably know that, or you probably know that in advance. So, but you'll have to go on the archives and listen to last week's show. We had a lot of fun. Anyway, who's on the phone today, right now?
That would be Carrie.
Terry?
Carrie with a K.
Okay. Carrie with a K. Carrie,
good
how
morning.
Are you? Good morning.
Best of the morning to you. I'm fine, thank you. Got a question that you probably have never had asked before, and
okay.
Probably well below your expertise.
Okay.
I've got a 06 Toyota 4Runner, and I've had it for about a year and a half or so. And I thought just for fun I ought to lower the spare tire and double-check the tire and make sure it's in good condition and so forth. And I stuck the rod in to lower the spare tire, and it doesn't want to lower. The gears and
stop.
Uh-huh.
I already know the answer.
You do.
I do.
That's why I called you.
Yeah. Now, the next time the plate passes, next time you pass the Salvation Army ringer, you put in an extra whatever for me. Yes?
Okay.
I need all the help I can get when I go north. When my body goes north.
I'll put your name on any donation.
This happens all the time, and what happens is, and I want to raise my hand. I think every one of my guys has done this. They'll put the spare tire on the hanger, and then they'll take their stupid air guns and wipe it out.
Uh-huh.
Wipe it out. Now, there's only one way to fix it. We're going to get up there, and we're going to cut the cable. We're going to drop the spare down. We're going to unbolt two or three bolts, drop down the winch, put a new one up, and pull your spare tire back up and tell you never use it. Don't let anybody use an air gun when you're trying to raise or lower that spare tire.
Okay, and just always use a crank, hand crank.
Yeah, you just use the crank. But my guys have done that. As a matter of fact, my guys did that to my wife's truck. And she was so nice about it. But I would imagine it's because she signs their checks. But yeah, we did it to her truck. And it's just one of those things. We learn from our mistakes, but here's the problem. The last guy didn't learn from his mistakes because he doesn't even know what happened.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, when you take it apart, you'll see the cables all wound around itself. And it's kind of like you take a loosely wound drum with cable, and then you hold the drum steady, and you hook the other end to a big truck, and you just take off. You know how it would just tighten up the outer? That's what you're going to find.
Ties itself together.
Yeah, what part of town are you in?
Central Phoenix area.
Okay. I'd go, do you have a shop that you love and that you want to go to?
Pretty much so.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want to take you from a shop that you're perfectly happy with. I don't want to suggest another shop.
I'm open to suggestions.
Okay, well, 16th Street south of, I think it's south of Osborne, is Martin's Auto, and I've known Dennis. His dad, the son's running it now, but I've known Dennis since the 68, 69 mark.
Uh-huh.
So it's a second generation facility over there. You got Billy at 25th Street Auto on 25th Street and Indian School. Either one of those guys would be able to help you.
Okay.
All righty.
Yeah, those are both close to me.
All righty.
Thank you.
You betcha. Folks, I would never suggest that we don't make mistakes at my shop. I can tell you, not too long ago, we wiped out a motor.
2 minutes.
Not too long ago, we had an elderly lady that's been a customer of ours for 100 years. The parts guy walks out. There's two Toyotas on the hoist, and they're both oil changes. He's bringing the filters to him. And guess what he does? He puts the A on the B car and the B on the A car. She makes it down the road 5 miles. You can follow the trail of oil. And the motor, I wish she would have stopped sooner, but I don't have any control after that of that. So we put a motor in the car. A while back, a guy drove off, and we didn't tighten the lug nuts on the right rear. Tire came off, lots of damage. We fixed that. One time we had a car fall off the hoist. Now, I'm talking over the last 40 years, okay? We had a car fall off the hoist, and it was all our fault. So we do that. We not too long ago, we didn't align a car right because nobody zeroed it, and we wiped out a front set of front tires within a week. So, yeah, we make mistakes. Yeah, we make mistakes. Our volume of cars could be 20 a day.
1 minute.
But we have 20 bays, and we have a lot of people. So the idea is that the more work you do, the more risk you have, the more technicians you have, the more risk you have. But I know of a lot of shops, and as we get around and drink a beer, we all start admitting what we've done wrong. There's a lot of guys that just say, it's my fault, I'll take care of it. Don't think you're going to get a new car out of it. Don't think that you're going to be able to take advantage of them in a bad way. In this lady's car, we offered to buy it. At high book, we'll buy it, but it had sentimental value. So we put in a rebuilt motor, even though hers was at 100,000 miles. We just weren't going to put another 100,000 miles that we didn't know the history of. And besides that, that was what I would want someone to do for my mother. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be back. Twenty-one minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. We have open lines available if you'd like to talk about a car problem you have. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There's a good repair facility up on I-17 in Deer Valley on the northwest corner, and that's Action Auto Repair. Tom has owned that and operated that since 1983. I've known Tom for a very long time. I met him in 1983, and he was actually a salesman for those big scope things, and I was impressed with his knowledge on how to make that scope dance and how the information was coming out of it and how he could explain all that. But he had a fundamental knowledge of cars. So not too far after that, he opened up his own shop. So he's at I-17 in Deer Valley, Action Auto Repair. Good guy. Good, honest guy, and knows right from wrong like the most of us do. Okay, we got a caller. Who might that be?
That would be DJ.
DJ, how are you?
Hello, Mark. I understand that previously you were talking about lower control arm bushings, and I have a 2017 Mini Countryman. It's only got about 8,000 miles on it, and when I come to a quick stop, it feels like the whole car is like jolting.
Okay. Does it do it when you take off? Does it clunk on an abrupt stop? And does it clunk when you abruptly take off?
I haven't tried abruptly taking off.
Okay.
I kind of baby the car.
Okay. I don't think that you have lower control arm bushing problems, and I don't think 8,000 miles would be anywhere close, even though you've had the car for 3 years. I would bet against that. Do you have a repair shop that you like?
Not really. I mean, okay. I've gone up to the dealership, and it's under warranty for a short time, but I was trying to get it diagnosed before the end of the warranty.
Okay.
Wears out.
That's a bad idea. Okay, it's not up for you to get it diagnosed, and that is a lose situation. So you get some guy on the radio, and based on what you're saying, he says it's not bushings, and he knows it's 8,000 miles. But if you go in there and say to them, the lower control arms are moving, and they go in and replace them, and that doesn't fix your clunk, it's your fault. You need to talk symptoms. And in your particular case, regardless of who does it, it's okay for you to insist, I want to take someone for a ride. I promise I won't have them more than 10 minutes because I can make this happen in your parking lot. But I want them to see how to do it. And if they say no...
Oh, well, I already did. Yeah, I did that. I went with the sales guy, and I went with another technician that is supposed to be diagnosing the noises at the dealership.
Okay.
And I didn't get anywhere. They just said that, well, when the corporation engineer comes to town, we can have him look at it.
Okay, that's...
They hear it.
I know. I disagree with that philosophy. Wait a minute. She can make it happen. You can feel it and hear it, and you're unable to diagnose this specifically? Are you kidding me? If one of my guys said that, I would be so mad. Wait a minute. You're working on cars for a living. You're an ASE Master Certified Technician. You have 30 years in the business. You went and she told you how to make it happen. You're going to put it up on the hoist, shake down the front end. Is it in the front of the car or the back of the car? Does it clunk on acceleration and deceleration or just acceleration or what? It's got 8,000 miles on it. We need to find it. You know what we do? We'll leave the car on the ground and we'll get some technicians that will rock the car forward and backward. It's in park and then the parking brake's on. They're just going to rock it forward and backwards. Two guys get on either side of the car. They touch things with their hands and one of them goes, uh-oh, it's the upper strut rod on this side. That's as easy. I mean, I make it sound easy, but we're not going to charge you for $5 for that. But really and truly, I think you need to get a second opinion. Now, if it's under warranty, good. But I still don't want you to go in there and tell them what it is. You give them the symptoms, and they're responsible for diagnosing and fixing your problem. They're responsible. Whether you pay for it or somebody else pays for it, they are responsible. We're all responsible for our own diagnosis. So you are best served to just take it to them and insist that they call you, say, if you're going to spend any of my money, you need to call me. If you're not going to spend any of my money and you think you know that it's the gas cap, then replace the gas cap. That's what I say to them. That's what I would say to any shop. So I can't diagnose your problem.
Can I get a second opinion?
Say that again?
Should I get a second opinion? Another import mini? I mean, I just need a second opinion, I guess.
Okay, well, your Mini's no different than a Chevrolet and a Toyota and a Honda and a Ford and a Chrysler, really and truly. They all have the same suspension. So it's just not that. You don't need a Mini guy to look at your car. And again, you're not going to tell them what to do. You're going to tell them how to make it happen. Then when they call, and the best thing is you said it was under warranty still. So if it's under warranty, take it in and let them do it. Because here's two possibilities. At the end of the day, you go, good job. At the end of the day, you say, problem is still there. You didn't pay for the first one, and you're not going to pay for the second one. So they can guess and dance around all they want. But the fact of the matter is the shop has a responsibility to diagnose it and fix it, especially when you've demonstrated or told them specifically what to do. So I know you're all wadded up in a knot about this, but this isn't that hard. You're trying to get somebody, and I want to tell you something. You can get on the internet all you want. I can't tell you all the stories about people spending thousands of dollars because some guy in South America told him that he knows it's this. So I think stay away from the internet, because the noise is something you got to diagnose with your ears and your hands and your eyes. But I'll tell you an example. A guy sends me an email the other day and he goes, I have a code in the computer and I called this guy who's a mobile guy. And he comes over and he says, well, the head temperature sender's bad. So he went and got one and he put it in and then he goes, oh, that didn't fix it. Maybe it's defective. So he goes back to the auto parts store. He puts the first part in a box so the auto parts store can sell it again, and then they put a second one on and the mobile guy goes, I don't know what it is, and he left with the guy's money. Well, first of all, just because it has a code that's named oxygen sensor does not mean it means to replace the oxygen sensor. You have to go look. You got a playground full of kids and you got one over here that's saying Billy's sick. We're just not going to take Billy and throw him in an ambulance. We're going to go talk to Billy. We're going to see, where do you hurt? And then you figure out, oh, he's got a rock in his shoe. So there is a process on the check engine light and a lot of other things for you to work at. But this guy gets caught up in the ability of the internet and this mobile guy to tell him what's wrong with his car. Let me tell you this. When it comes to a code, a check engine light with a code, probably 75% of the time, the code, which mentions Mark Salem, the code is wrong. But the sensor is what's telling it. So the oxygen sensor is saying, give me more fuel, give me more fuel. And everybody goes, oh, the oxygen sensor's bad. No, the fuel filter's plugged. That's what you need to fix is the fuel filter, because there's a substandard amount of fuel being delivered to the car, and the oxygen sensor is telling the truth, but the fuel filter's plugged. So there's lots of guys out there that can help you with this, but I've given you the very best advice I can. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. No, 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday we're here from 10 to 12 talking about cars. And I want to tell you something. I'm talking about the good guys more than I'm talking about the bad guys. And I'm not going to name, and you're not going to call me and say who's the bad guy, because I'm not going to tell you. It's not my job. I'm not the policeman for car repair. I've been around the block. I know right from wrong. And sometimes you may misrepresent what you were told, but I'm going to go off what you tell me. So I just don't want anybody to be mad at me. But Bill, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Hey, I got an 87 Blazer, okay, 350, throttle body fuel injection, okay?
Okay.
And it was gutless, okay?
Okay.
Meaning it had, like, the 210 horsepower engine in it.
Okay.
And I upgraded it to another engine, okay?
Okay.
With a little more horsepower.
Okay.
Well, my installer says, you got to get another chip burned. You got to get another chip burned, okay? Well, you know, it's got a Commodore 64 in it right now, or less, you know, for a computer.
Okay.
So, I'm having an issue with finding somebody that knows what the heck they're doing, to burn a chip.
Now,
there's some aftermarket chips out there, but they don't know the parameters of my engine, except for one site that I went to that does it, and he asks the right questions.
Okay.
So, but without it putting on a dyno, is there anything aftermarket you put on it without putting it on a dyno? And
there isn't anybody I know that wants any part of this. You are redesigning your truck, and you are in a deep dark hole, and your chances of you climbing out of it are zero. I get this once a week. I put this motor in, and then I found out that the computer won't really run a port fuel injected motor over a TBI unit. Although I have this particular programmer, it still won't run right, and now they want me to put it on the dyno. What do we need to put it on the dyno for?
That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
It's not going to do anything.
Why?
Can't change anything.
Well, no, the dyno, it just measures something. So you're telling me that if I put it on the dyno and tell you where the brake horsepower is at what RPM, that's going to help you? What about running rich or lean? What about idle air control motor activity? What about oxygen sensor activity? What about fuel pressure activity? How about all that? What you've got is an EEPROM in that thing. The last guy that used to be able to build EEPROMs and dyno them and make them work was TBI out of Tempe, and he's out of business.
Yes, I tried to get him a couple weeks ago.
And I've got to call in because there's somebody else just like you, and I got to call in to Joe, who used to work for him, and Joe's in Colorado, and I'm going to ask him about an EEPROM burn or an EEPROM this, because I got a guy with a Corvette, and he took out an old computer with an EEPROM, and now he's all messed up, and he's into it for $20,000 or $30,000. He ain't going to fix this. It's kind of like taking Windows, it's like taking DOS, and then all of a sudden you upgrade a DOS machine to Windows 10. It isn't going to work.
I found that out.
Yeah.
I didn't do very much of a high performance, just a smaller cam to give me a little more horsepower, but it's thrown off a lot of things.
Okay. Well, first of all, the cam is going to make the vacuum and idle very widely.
Yeah. Huh?
We're not going to be able to keep up with that. The MAP sensor or mass airflow sensor, whichever you decided to use, is not going to be able to do that. It's going to look up and it's going to go, oh, low vacuum, bring the idle up. Oh, high vacuum or high idle, bring the vacuum, the timing down. It's going to sit there and just be all confused because you got a motor. How are we going to control the idle? The idle is supposed to be at 650 in drive, and so the idle drops down. The computer goes, bump it up, then whoo, goes to 800. Then it goes to 600. Then it goes to 900. And the idle's sitting there yo-yoing because the camshaft's too big. So when you mess with the idle, when you mess with the engine vacuum on a computer-operated car, never works. It just never works. Now, I can tell you in the old days, us old guys.
Yeah, us old guys. Hey, it's like one of those love-hate relationships. I had this thing for now for 25 years since in 87. You know what I mean.
No, I do. I remember an old guy took a tomato can and made a vacuum tank out of it. And then he put and he had to mess with the orifice, and then he put his sensor in the vacuum can, which would have a conglomeration of the variant vacuum of the engine. And if I remember correctly, he said that worked pretty well. Here's the problem with that idea. It's going to take you forever to deal with the orifice. How big should it be? How small should it be? Because we really want between 16 and 18 inches of vacuum at idle to be delivered the entire time. So we're going to have to put a backflow in there. But then if we put a check valve in there, we fill it full of 17 inches of vacuum. How can it exhaust that vacuum? Mm-hmm. So you've got all these parameters to deal with. But I'm sorry. I wish I had help, and I wish this too. I wish you'd have called me first.
Well, yeah, I kind of went, you know, with the deal that it wasn't going to be a big deal, and they can burn a chip for it. And
okay.
All of a sudden, nobody knows how to burn chips.
Okay.
Anymore.
Yeah. So you got a 350. What'd you put in it?
A 350.
Okay. Why don't you just put the camshaft back in it?
Well, like I said, I'm going to be back down to my little 210 horsepower that I can't even pull a little trailer up a hill.
Okay, you know? Okay.
That's what the problem is.
If you were trying to fix that, I could have fixed that, and Blackwell could have fixed it, and Harkers could have fixed it, and a whole lot of guys in this town could have fixed it.
I got the 373 gears in it.
Doesn't make any difference. You got a transmission. You can shift on it. If you want third gear, grab third gear. If you know where the red line's at, put it there.
Yeah, but still, it's like going backwards up a hill.
I don't believe you, because well. I know your Blazer as good as anybody in town, and I know I could mess with the timing. I know I could mess with the fuel pressure. I know I'd want a beast modification on the exhaust, and that thing would pull a two-axle, 3,000-pound trailer all the way to Payson up Rye. Now, if you're expecting it to do 75 miles an hour, then that's crazy. No.
When semi-trucks pass you, that's pretty bad.
It just depends.
I'm a 1,500-pound trailer in the back.
It just depends. I mean, not too many semis are passing anything I own. But I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Power diesel, you guys.
All I'm telling you is put a stock cam back in it, and then what part of town? North, south, east, or west?
Oh, I'm up there on Greenway and 20th Street.
And just go take it over to Blackwell. Now, Blackwell's not going to be able to fix your problem, but if you put the cam back in it, then Blackwell can fine-tune that. We're going to add a little time into it, add a little bit more time into it. We're just going to keep doing that until we see some negative connotations, and then we're going to say to you, if it drags the starter hot, let me know. So it goes, it's hot to go. Okay, then we're going to back off the timing. Does the vacuum advance work? Does the mechanical advance work? Does your HEI have the mechanical weights all rusted because they sit underneath the rotor and the condensation rides underneath the rotor? And all of a sudden, we've got all this problem in the vacuum advance and the mechanical advance, and you say it runs like heck, and that's because it's sitting there 6, 7, 8 degrees retarded. You know, it's easy to test that stuff if you know what you're doing. But Blackwell Auto, 40th Street in Glendale, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and we're here talking about cars and car repair. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. So if you didn't get in or you have a question, send me an email. I answer those myself. And just get the right address, mark@marksalem.com, and I'll help you out with your car question. But we may do some give and take, but we have to control that to some extent. There's only one shop in Mesa that I can tell you that I know for sure is a good guy. I know for sure he knows what he's talking about, and I know he has the right heart, and I know that he can do what I want him to do and what you want him to do. So we're talking about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They've been open since 1970. Brian and Thelma are the owners, and both of their families come from gas stations and garages back in the 66, 68, and 70 arena. So these two young people, and then they're middle-aged people, have been around the gas station and the repair business their whole life. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road, and I'm quite sure you'll be happy if you try them for an oil change, or if you have some specific symptoms you can demonstrate. I think you'd be real happy with their service. Okay, let's go to Lenny. Lenny, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I have a recurring problem, and I took it to a shop, and I told them that the driver's information center was showing a constant 130-pound oil pressure. Then it would go to zero, and then a red light would come on. But I knew there was oil pressure there, but it wouldn't get that far off the car. So anyway, they called me later and told me what the problem was. And I said, could I get the car fix it today? I said, yeah, we can get done some today. He said, want to wait? I said, well, I can't. He said, well, we'll take you home, and we'll call you back. So they took me home, and then later in the afternoon, they called me back. The car was ready. I called about 3:30. So they picked me up and went back down there. And then when I got the bill, I noticed something under that I didn't ask for. What it was is they took time to go from soup to nuts to evaluate my entire car. So there was a charge for that. I didn't ask them to do that, nor did they tell me they were going to do that. And the reason they couldn't get my car the same day is because they had to wait time getting the part. So I had the car overnight, had picked up the next morning. So they spent my time, wouldn't get the car that they spent all that time valuing my car. That's what they did, and they charged me money for that. I didn't think that was fair.
Okay.
What do I think about that?
Well, that's the scourge of our industry right now. Everybody's doing that. You see, business
right.
is slow. The new cars don't need maintenance till 80 to 100,000 miles. We don't get to see you every 3,000 miles anymore. So because of that, I'm starving to death. And because of that, we're going to start doing safety inspections on everything. Now, that takes quite a bit of you know what I'm talking about to order to charge them, charge the customer for that. Everybody else gives it for free. But it's a shopping list, and we're hoping you'll bite just on a couple of those things. So, Lenny, you just go back. Well, first of all, did you pay with a credit card?
Yes, I did.
Okay. At worst case scenario, you go over and pay him for the oil and then challenge your credit card and tell him, stop, I'm not paying this because this is unauthorized work. But I've already paid him for the oil problem, but I'm not paying for this inspection.
Okay. Well, I want to add something now that you reviewed it.
Okay.
It's one of your shops.
Okay, then it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. You go in there and tell them you want your money back, that you did not authorize them to spend your money looking over your vehicle. You wanted the oil light
right.
and the oil pressure done, period. That's it. That's what you tell them. And if they don't do it,
okay.
then you go to the website and you can file a complaint just like everybody else does. My website.
Get their website and send them a story on my website and see what they respond.
Well, you can do that. It's unauthorized work. I did not authorize
right.
it. I did not want it. And I would like very much for you to refund me that money. That's how I would handle it.
Right.
You know, this is going on in a big, big way. Let me tell you a story. I take my 2012 Dodge truck in for the second time for the second recall, and the first recall was for a shift interlock, and the second one is for, we've redesigned it again. So when engineers tell me that they make cars perfectly, I say to them, well, how come I got so many recalls, technical service bulletins, and how come I've got all these problems that are related to, we haven't updated this, we haven't updated this. So anyway, I take my truck in. They're very nice. I don't know that if they know that I'm the car guy, I wouldn't have told them. I just said, here's my truck, here's my recall, when will it be done? He says, we'll get it done by 5. Perfect, I'll be back at 5. So I come back. The guy walks over and he says, here, they bring my truck forward, and he says, here's your receipt and stuff like that. And he goes, here's your safety inspection on my truck. And so I'm kind of giggling to myself, and I said, did you find anything? I haven't opened it up. And he looks at me and he goes, you're the car guy. And I said, I have cars. And he goes, no, you're the car guy. And I said, so what are you telling me? And he goes, look at their, everything was green. Everything was green. And I says, so who is the car guy? And he goes, you are. He says, one of our technicians recognized you. And I said, well, did that affect the record you gave me? He goes, no. He says, but we kind of assumed that if you're the car guy, we won't find anything wrong with your truck. And I says, well, I'm glad to see that you didn't. But I didn't ask for that. And it's a sales opportunity. If I can put a couple of those from green to yellow and from a couple of them to red, maybe it's kind of like fishing. You throw the line out there, and then you just reel it back in slow.
That's I have one thing, Mark, before I go.
Sure.
They found numerous problems with my car, many, many problems.
Okay.
So I figured, well, if any of those problems did come up, I wouldn't go back to them just to the repair. They didn't treat me right. I'd go someplace else.
Sure. And to let everybody know, you're talking about one of the shops that's on my list for the best car repair shops. I'm giving you the same advice if it was my own. You need to go back and talk to them.
You've mentioned their name today. Well, okay. I won't tell you who it was, but you mentioned it today.
That's fine.
You want to know what it is? I can tell you off the air if you want to know.
No, I would prefer that you not mention the name of the shop, because even if you weren't talking about one of my shops, I prefer you wouldn't. So I told a story about a dealership not at the beginning of the show, and I didn't name them. So, you know, I've given you the best advice I can give you. Go back, be nice, say to them, I'm a little concerned about this inspection you did, and I want you to know that I believe this is unauthorized work, and I would prefer that you give me my money back. That's all. And plan B is stop payment on the credit card charge. Go in and say, you know, the bill was $200, the inspection was $1, and the oil pressure switch is $1. Here's a check for $100. I've stopped payment on the entire bill with my credit card. That's what you do. That's all you got to do. Anyway, Lenny, thank you very much. Good luck to you. Who we got next?
We have Steve.
Steve, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I have a question for you on extended warranties. And what I have is I have a 2011 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited.
Okay.
And the extended warranty I have is really a good one, and it was purchased through my credit union, who they authorized, and the fee for the protection.
Okay, we don't have much time. You know, we need to get to the issue because I only got 4 minutes.
Okay. My question is, do independent shops like yourself, I know I took this to the Dodge dealer for an oil leak, and they replaced every seal on this thing on 3 different occasions because they were just throwing parts. So my question is, are there independent ASE shops that are happy to take an extended warranty?
I can't speak for any of them, but I don't. Do you know that you have to pay shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax? Do you know that? Do you know that you have to have maintenance records based on everything imaginable? We had a lady with a radiator the other day, and they wanted transmission service records. What's the relationship here? Well, if she doesn't flush her transmission or she doesn't change it, it can cause the radiator to go bad. Yes, there's a cooler inside the radiator for the transmission, but that's not the problem. I've got a blown seam on the driver's side. The cooler's on the passenger side. And when the cooler blows up, it turns the entire inside of that cooling system into a strawberry milkshake. That's not what we got. Well, no transmission service, then we're not covering it. That's what we get to every day of our lives. I can't tell you how much I despise those companies, because they're in it for just one reason. That's to just cut you off at the legs. And you can tell that my panties are wadded up pretty tight right now. But I can't speak for everybody else, but we're not taking you. And then they go, well, your part's too much. We're going to send you a part. Oh, who's going to warranty that part? Well, you. No, we're not. I didn't make any money on that part. So you want me to install your cheap part that comes in a white box without a name on it, and you want me to warranty your part and the labor too? Nope, sorry, ain't happening. Had a BMW in there a year ago. He says, we're going to send you the rack. I've already pulled the rack out to show the inspector. The car's sitting on the lift. No front end on it. Okay, send it to me. 2 weeks later, that car's still sitting on my hoist. And 2 weeks later, we get a rack on it. and it's the wrong one. So I don't want to deal with them. I tell people, I said, you pay me the payment and I'll cover what they're going to do, but at the same rules that they do. So I don't like it. I think it's a bad deal. You've already got it. You'll just have to deal with it however you want. But I think you're going to find out that at the end of the day, you're going to pay as much as they're going to pay, and they're going to find a reason, the best reason they can, to not accept responsibility for that. One of the guys that was a real big shot here in Phoenix that handled these claims for a lot of different aftermarket warrant companies used to be a customer of mine. But he was so different in a bad way that we began to just shoot him really high prices for work he did just because I didn't want him. So if it was normally a $100 repair, I'd bid it at $220. I didn't care. I didn't want him. So he's just in the habit of just robbing people and you know, sounding so authoritative and saying, you know, I'm not going to listen to what Salem says or Joe Blow says because they should have had a transmission service. And that's like saying your windshield wipers, your wiper motor's bad and you should have had an oil change a week ago. That's just completely unrelated. I'm sorry I'm not beating you up. You asked me my opinion and I'm giving it to you. So I'm sorry. Anyway, Steve, good luck to you. And you know, I'll say a prayer next time I have his attention on behalf of your 11 Wrangler and the problem that you're having. Anyway, my email address is mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. And Lenny, if you want to send me the name of the shop that I endorse, you're more than welcome to, mark@marksalem.com. Folks, it's really about a self-defense for car expense. What symptom are you going to fix with your suggested repair? That's number one. Number two, let's look in my owner's manual and see where it says that I need to have my exhaust system flushed. Those are two killers. And the third thing is always ask for your old parts back, because if they install a part that's $300 and it doesn't fix your problem, you say, we're going to back this train up. Here's the old part. Put it on and we're going to start with a credit for that part and a credit for that diagnosis, which was obviously defective. See you next Saturday here, 10 to noon on 960.